Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me start this morning by asking you, how many hikers do we have out in the congregation today? A couple? A few? Wow. Tough crowd. We had more hikers in the early service. We don't like the outdoors. Some of my best memories when in my younger days was of hiking in the Cascade Mountains in Oregon. And I don't know if it was the old growth trees, mostly ponderosa pines, or the cool, fresh smell of the air from the forest floor on a hot summer day, or this, just the sound of a stream going by from the snow melt from the mountains. All of that just would always seem to restore me when I got out into nature. And I remember in those days getting to the trailhead, and you know, you're all full of energy and you're ready to go, and those first few steps of the trek are always so easy and light. But if you've ever hiked uphill up a mountain at 8,000 foot elevation, you know, it's completely different than hiking around in the valley. And this is why in those hiking guides that you find, they have stars next to each of the trails based on the difficulty, right? So the one-star trails are those that are around like parks where families go to with their kids to have a picnic, right? Fairly easy. And then it goes all the way up to four-star trails. Four-star trails are those that are sometimes hard to even find the trailhead to, and they involve things like a 3,000-foot elevation gain in 6 miles. Not something that you just all of a sudden decide you want to do. You kind of have to be ready for a four-star trail. Well, Broken Top Mountain in Central Oregon is a hike like that, and I have a picture here for you. This is Broken Top. You can see the top of the mountain. It's aptly named, right? And there's a cone in the middle there where there's a lake and a glacier, and this is actually a view of the hike. You start here, and you're going to go all the way up into the mouth of the mountain there, and it starts at about 5,000 foot elevation, and you end up at 8,000 by the time you're done. By the time you get to the end, toward the end there, right at the mouth, it's kind of loose gravel, loose rock, alluvial material is what it's called, and it can become very treacherous as you move forward, very hard to move forward because of the loose rock. It's like one step forward and a half a step back, and your calves start to burn, and the air becomes drier and thinner up there, and your steps aren't as light as it was when you started your trip. And the pack that you're carrying is doubled in weight, it seems, and it gets hot, and you might even be tempted to think about turning around. But you endure to the end. Why? Because you know your destination. You know where you're going. And the most important thing on a journey, any journey, is to stay on the path, or you might get lost. Looking at our gospel reading this morning, the disciples are on a journey, aren't they? It's a journey with Jesus to the cross. It's kind of like our journey this Lent. We've been calling this a journey to the cross with Jesus. In many ways, this 8th chapter of Mark is like the midpoint of their expedition. Before this, the path forward has been fairly simple, fairly straightforward. You might call it easy. All they've had to do is just follow Jesus around. The disciples and the crowd have all gone on this journey so far with their own ideas of what's ahead on the journey and of the final destination. So far, they've been amazed and awed by Jesus' teaching and his miracles, and their bellies are full because Jesus fed the crowds in an amazing way. But now, here in chapter 8, the journey is about to get more difficult. Jesus gives the disciples a clearer picture of the path ahead, and it turns out that the road is not what they expect, and the destination is one they cannot fathom. Here in our text, Jesus shines a light for them by asking a question: who do you say that I am? And Peter, the impulsive and assertive follower of Jesus, is the first one to answer, saying, "You are the Christ." Finally, after 8 chapters, one of the disciples identifies Jesus for who he truly is, the Messiah. It's about time, right? We can all go home now. We know who Jesus is, right? The journey's done. Not so fast. There's just one problem here. It turns out that walking through this world as the Messiah, God's anointed, is a perilous journey. Suffering, rejection, and death await Jesus at the hands of the religious leaders. This wasn't in the hiking guide. Come on. Forget a 4-star difficulty. This trail is so dangerous it leads to certain death, at least according to the trail guide, Jesus. And remember, the most important thing to any journey is to stay on the path. Well, Jesus is the path. He is the way. The question for Peter and the other disciples is this: will they stay on the path and follow Jesus or not? There comes a point in any journey, in any epic journey, when the path becomes unclear, when the way forward is uncertain. And the travelers must make a choice: stay on the path or veer to the right or left, or maybe even try to turn around and go back. Sometimes there's a temptation, isn't there, to find a new, a better way. And at times like that, who you decide to follow, whose voice you listen to in those moments, it matters. Listening to the wrong voice can have dire consequences. I have a video here that illustrates this point. I want you to take a look at it now.
Make a right turn.
Wait. No. It means bear right.
No.
Up there.
It said right. It said take a right.
No. Look. It means go up to the right, bear right, over the bridge, and hook up with 307.
Make a right.
Maybe it's
turn.
A shortcut, Dwight. It said go to the right.
It can't mean that. There's
look,
a lake right there.
I think it knows where it is going.
This is the
lake. Machine knows.
This is the lake.
Stop yelling at me.
No, it's up there. There's no lake
here.
Remain calm. I have trained for this. Okay. Exit the window! Here we go.
Make a U-turn, if possible.
Look out for Legion! Michael! Are you okay? Swim for it!
I mean, the GPS told me to turn right. Right? Whose voice you listen to matters. Right? And this is a comedic illustration, but for Peter, there seems to be a desperate temptation to find a different way than the one that Jesus has just described in our gospel reading. Peter cannot comprehend the reality that Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die. So he rebukes Jesus, the one he has just called the Christ, the Messiah. Certainly part of Peter's resistance to accept and obey Jesus' words here is the preconceived notion of what the Messiah would do to establish his reign. To the Jews, the Messiah was an earthly king like David who would come to liberate Israel from foreigners. This meant defeating the Romans and sitting on an earthly throne to rule over all the earth. in perfect peace and justice. Maybe part of it for Peter was fear that caused him to respond in such direct opposition. After all, following Jesus to persecution and death would surely mean risking the same thing for Peter and the disciples, wouldn't it? Whatever it was that caused Peter's reaction, Jesus was clear in identifying the true source of the opposition. Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus, as the good shepherd, makes it clear here that there is only one path on this journey of salvation, and he is it. No matter what you may think, no matter how things may appear, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. When the path becomes unclear and difficult, anything that would take us off the path is a distraction, a temptation, a lie from our own sinful nature and from the devil himself. In the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, which is a classic allegory of the Christian journey of faith written by John Bunyan about 450 years ago, one of the characters in the book is called Faithful, who tells the main character who is on this journey, Christian, he tells him in the simplest terms, he says this, "What God says is best, though all the men in the world are against it." This is what it means to listen to God's voice, right? To obey. Finally, when all the noise of doubt and false desire are stripped away on this journey of life, it comes down to one word: obedience. Believing that what God says is best is best. So when we face temptations as Christians in our own journey of life, we know which voice to obey, to listen to, because we know that there is only one voice that came down from heaven to take on human flesh. God became one of us. He walked this journey for us and with us. He knew the temptations and weaknesses that we have, and yet he never gave in to them. He never sinned. He kept his eyes on the path his Father set before him in perfect obedience. He kept his eyes fixed on the destination, Jerusalem, and his saving work that he would do there. In order to complete his trek through this world, showing the way to his Father's kingdom, where all people are welcome to come and find perfect justice and peace and life, Jesus would have to die. He didn't let the threats of the Pharisees and other religious leaders distract him, or the temptations of the devil. He went obediently to the cross, where the light of the glory of God shines for all the world to see. It isn't what we expect, right, when we think of a good and powerful king being high and lifted up, being exalted. But at the cross, every sin was erased and every stronghold of evil was defeated. And at the name of Jesus who hung there, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And if you have been baptized into Christ, like Amelia was today, you have been given eyes to see the light on this path that God has laid before each one of you. I like to think of it in my own prayer and devotional time as the path of righteousness that God has laid before each one of us, right? Not my own righteousness, right? But the righteousness of Christ that leads to eternal life. Like in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, God has given you and I eyes of faith so that we can see this path and follow our Savior wherever He guides us. And sometimes that path may not be what we expect. It may not be easy. In fact, it may be difficult and challenging. You may not even want to go there. Like Peter, you have your own ideas of what is best. And you may be tempted to take a shortcut or even to turn around and try to go back to some place that you think is safer, but you know really that it's not and that you can't go back. At times like this, we try to convince ourselves that maybe we can get God to follow us, which we know is wrong. But the Holy Spirit is faithful. He reminds us that His plans are often different from what we expect. And finally, what God says is best is best. As a congregation, God has some pretty big plans, some exciting and challenging plans for us ahead. Our building committee is just this week putting the final touches on the revised plans for the ministry expansion project, and we have a voters meeting on March 17th to consider them and to continue to grow in God's goodness and to support our brothers and sisters and the new people that are coming here who are on this journey with us. So let us not be tempted to turn aside or to be tempted to turn back, to try to take a safer or easier route. Let us stay on the path that God has put before us, justified by faith and having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. We are on this same journey that Paul was on and all Christ followers. And we can enjoy, we can rejoice like Paul in all circumstances, even the challenging ones, even at times when we find that we are suffering, because we know that suffering produces endurance. And as we endure, God forms our character, and our character gives us hope as we learn and trust that God has been faithful, and He will be faithful again as we move along one step at a time on this path. Lent is a time for us to focus on where we see God working in our lives and in the lives of those around us, to intentionally take the next step in our own journey, but also with someone else in the life and someone else that God has placed in your life. I encourage you, I hope that you will take opportunities during the season of Lent to pray together in your own households, pray with your spouses, pray with your kids, pray for a friend who is struggling, maybe even look for ways to encourage those around you in their faith. Maybe buy them a devotional book and encourage them to be in the Word throughout the week, making sure that you are in the Word. Commit yourself to staying focused on heavenly things throughout the week, not just on Sunday. And if you are tempted, when you are tempted, when you are persecuted by sin and the devil, I encourage you to turn it over to God, even if it is 20 times a day. The season of Lent is a season of opportunity for spiritual growth, but it can also be a season of spiritual attack. And so be prepared. Be in the Word. Stay on the path. No matter how big the challenge that you may be facing in your life, how many times you are tempted to leave the path, listen to the words of God, especially in the word of the prophet Joel, who tells us to return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. What a loving God that we have, that even at those times when we have strayed from the path, God always makes a way for us to return. Finally, stay on the path, because you and I both know where it leads. At the end of a great journey, there is oftentimes a great view. And I want to share with you the view from the top of Broken Top Mountain. This is not Broken Top. This is actually three mountains. They're called the Three Sisters in Oregon. It's right next to Broken Top. And if you climb Broken Top and look over, that's what you see. And this is partly one of the mountains is obscured there. Actually, two of them look like they are. But there's also an incredible view of the valley below. And it's why I go hiking. You guys, you got to get out there. God's creation is beautiful. But I do want to just say this, that no matter how breathtaking views like this are, imagine how amazing the view is going to be on the last day, the view of heaven, right? This is just a shadow of the reality that is awaiting each one of us. And so my prayer for you is that his light would continue to illumine your path as you take one step at a time on this journey with Jesus. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ, our guide, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.